written there. Think about the awesome wonder of God and why he would look upon a dead dog as me. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn over to Matthew chapter 9. I just want to brag on Jesus and talk about him this morning, and I want to go over some things, if I could, for just a few minutes. The world does not like my Savior. No matter, they don't have a problem with God. They don't have a problem with the holy deity, but they have a problem with Jesus. And when you get down to it, you can fellowship with anybody you want. I can fellowship with a Muslim as long as I don't bring Jesus in. We can sit there and talk about God. Now, I know his God is not God, but I don't have to bring that up. And we could just talk about God, how good God is, how great God is. And he'll sit there and just go on and on. And I could sit there and I could talk about to a Jehovah Witness, and we could talk about the Father, and we could talk about Jehovah, and we could sit there and fellowship back and forth, back and forth. As long as I don't bring up Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God, being the only way to heaven, then we got a problem. And you're going to find that's true. And what happens is, friend, if you're going to be out there in the world, I'll tell you, the world will allow you to fellowship with them as long as you don't name the name of Jesus Christ. You start naming the name of Jesus Christ, getting it down to just to that point, to that finite individual, then you're going to have an issue. I want to look at the Bible. I want to show you a couple of things. We're just going to do a few illustrations here this morning, here in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll start over here toward the end, in Matthew chapter 8, actually the end of 7, end of chapter 8, going into chapter 9. I'll get it there in a minute. Dyslexic, amen. But the end of chapter 8, well, right there at the end of, say, 33, and 34, and then we'll move into chapter 9. And we'll open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we do come to you again, Lord God, and I want to praise and worship my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to lift him up on high, God, and I want to thank you for him. And Father, I want him to take the preeminence, and I don't want to get any glory. And Father, I want to give it all to him. And God, I pray you feed your people this morning. Bless them, Lord God, as only you can. And Father, we're needy. We need you this morning. And Father, be with us in this place, we pray. We thank you for all that you've given us so far, all the songs and singing and adoration to our Savior. And Father, I know that with all the beautiful melodies and all the beautiful words, it falls short on that precious Lamb. But God, help us this morning to see him more clearly and appreciate him more dearly and praise him, Father God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now here in the latter part of chapter 8, we see a great thing that has taken place in chapter 8 there in Matthew. This devil-possessed man of the Gadarenes, he runs down there and he falls at the feet of Jesus, and you see something miraculous taking place. And those men had run off into the village and brought all those people back out there. And they see this man sitting clothed in his right mind. And he relays this story of his testimony of what happened to him and what Jesus had done for him, and give them this great just testimony. And you know what they did? Get out of our country. Leave our coast. Look with me in chapter 8, verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. I'm going to tell you, the world don't want anything to do with Jesus. I mean, he's performed something here that, you know, most people would have took and just been astounded at and astonishment at. And you know what they did? They said, just depart from us. We don't want anything to do with you. It would have been fine, you know, if the old boy would have got kind of right and maybe went through the 12-step program and you know, maybe went through some secular rehab program. And that would have been okay. They'd have said, man, oh, that is just wonderful, wonderful. Oh, glory, man. You know, encore, encore. Tell us all about it. We're just so excited to hear about this new program where you come in there and they hypnotize you and you no longer want this substance and all that. But I tell you what, you go into a program where they give you Jesus Christ and tell you that the blood of the Lamb is all you need and give you that Bible and say, listen, you can make it with this. Oh, no, depart from us. We don't have anything to do with that. We're not giving you no money. We're not going to support that. You need to leave. And what you find here is that's the world. The world don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go and do anything. You can call it a ministry. You can say God has blessed us. Just don't name Jesus. Because as soon as you say His name, you're going to bring controversy and persecution, and people are going to want you to move on. You could say, Happy Holidays. You could say, Merry Christmas, as long as you put an X on it. Listen, you can do everything, but you don't. I wouldn't. You go in there and say, well, you know, I hope you enjoy Jesus' birthday we're celebrating. What's the scowls you get? It's the holidays. It's time for presents and gifts. Got no time for no baby and no manger, some fictitious character. But yet they'll sit there every Monday morning, pull open their paper and read their astrology horoscope. I'm a Gemini. It says luck's going to come to me. Let me get my lotto tickets. Just don't name the name of Jesus. He sits there and he does something miraculous, something nobody could do. This poor man, it had been afflicted for years, separated from his family, his wife, his children, separated from those that loved him and knew him. And you would think that that town, that city, would have been ecstatic to have him back in their midst, in his right mind and everything. You'd think they'd been ecstatic about it. You'd think they would have took Jesus and said, come on, man, we're going down here and I'm buying you lunch and you're going to stay at my house and I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. What do you need? What does your ministry need? What can I help? You need a new boat? That one get messed up. The sails tore on that thing when y'all were coming across. Here, let me help you out. No. Get out of town. Don't want you here no more. Leave. That's what the world thinks. But you know what the sad thing is? It's just not the world. Notice in chapter 9 and verse 1. It says he departed. And where does it say he goes? Where? He come back to his own city. Came back out of that foreign land. Crossed back over into his hometown. Think he's going to get a good reception there? No, he ain't going to get a good reception there. And what does he do here? It says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, Capernaum. Come back into Capernaum, the town of Nahum, hometown of Nahum, the prophet. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Now notice they brought it to him. You know what? Let me tell you something, Christian. A lot of times you ain't got to go looking for it. They'll bring it to you. You ain't got to go out and try to stir nothing up. They'll bring it right to your door for you. He got off the boat. He's walking. I mean, he ain't even, you know, he probably just now got off the boat, run the gangplank down, stepped off onto the dock, started walking into town, and they brought him one. This guy with palsy. Brought it right up to it. You know what they'll do? They'll come right to your door. Oh, yes, we're doing a survey today. Well, if you're any type of Christian, you'll say, well, I don't know what kind of survey you're doing here, but I got a tract here I'd like to give you. And do you know Jesus Christ? You know, I'm a member over here at Lee's Chapel Baptist Church, and if you got a minute, I'd like to talk to you about that, and then I'll talk to you about your survey. Is that all right? No, I don't have time for that. I'm not here for that. I'm here to take a survey. You keep that to yourself. He says there, they brought to him one man sick of the palsy, laying on the bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. Now notice he sees the faith of those individuals that brought the, and that's a good thing. There was some there in the crowd that had some faith. They knew if they got him to Jesus, it would be all right, man. It'd be pretty good. It's kind of like them old boys that tore up and broke up that roof and laid that old boy down in there. And he saw their faith. Why? Hey, man, praise God. You got some brothers and sisters there in Christ. Man, you know, hey, they're gonna pray over this thing. And seeing their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said, this man blasphemes. You know what you're going to find? Brothers and sisters of Christ, when you're in your hometown and around your own brothers and sisters of Christ, there's going to be some preachers out there. There's going to be some intellects out there that because you like that old King James Bible or you pass out tracts or maybe you do personal work, they're going to look at you and go, man, them bunch of heretics over there. Because you believe the doctrines of the Bible and you're not moderate enough. You're too far right. You're too conservative about your dogma. You know what they're going to say? A bunch of blaspheming fools over there at Lee's Chapel Baptist Church. You know, they're sitting there, you know, ain't nothing wrong with taking a little wine for your stomach's sake. A little alcohol, you know, a glass of wine with my meal, it's okay. Jesus did it. Jesus turned water into wine. You bunch of conservatives. You know what? That's why they're not going to accept Jesus Christ when you present it. Why? Because they're going to judge you. So they was not going to take the fact that those faith of those individuals bringing that palsy man to Jesus Christ. You know, them scribes didn't have a problem with that. It's just when Jesus said to him, son, thy sins are forgiven. What did it do? It narrowed it down that Jesus was forgiven the sins. And they didn't like that. That'd have been fine if he'd have said, God forgive thee. And he got up. They'd have had no problem with that. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you liberal Christians, they won't have any problem with you whatsoever. Long as you toe the line in the middle of the stream with them. But you get outside that and you start getting down to that book. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Amen, amen, rightly dividing. And you start making differentiations between them and saying, listen, brother, that's not right. The Lord said, let me tell you something. You don't bring that Jesus in here. You keep your Jesus over there. Ah, come on now, am I telling the truth or am I telling the truth? Am I stretching it a little bit? Hey, I've listened to them and I've talked to them and they're going to tell me, said, well, that old King James is corrupt. You ain't got no Word of God. You need an NIV. And if you had the NIV and you had an education like I got, education like they got, you'd know better than that. You're just ignorant. I've had them come by here and take pictures of the church and laugh at you guys. Amen, sister? Laugh at them. Oh, I wonder who's reading them, that King James. You know them old hillbillies, they're too ignorant to be able to read a King James Bible. Listen, as long as you don't bring Jesus into it, long as you don't start getting down to the brass tacks as a Christian like the Bible tells you to, you know, hey, don't stir up everything red and start witnessing somebody when we're in the restaurant. You know, you're embarrassing me. You make me feel uncomfortable. You ever been with anybody and done that with them? Start witnessing maybe to the waitress or something? And you could tell somebody in the table was uneasy because you did it? Oh, we're not going back to, we're not going to lunch with them no more. Just don't bring Jesus into it. See, you're fine. You're fine if you talk to the waitress. You're fine if you talk to the lost world. You're fine. Just don't bring Jesus' name. I could sit there and give that person a tract and said, hey, here's your tract, here's your tip, have a good day. Nobody would say a word. They wouldn't blink an eye. But if I start talking to them about a Savior named Jesus Christ that died for their sins, people start getting nervous. You could tell it. People start frowning. I could talk about God, say, God bless you. People would be like, that's very sweet of that man to say that to that young woman. Gave her a tract and told him, God bless you. As long as I don't say Jesus. There's something about that name. There's something about that name, brother, when you start talking with it. And I'm talking, not only does it upset the lost world, but it upsets the liberal Christians. They don't like it. And we find that Jesus Christ has gone through the same types of situations that you're going through if you're witnessing for Jesus Christ. He's sitting here, and he's around the brethren. He's back in his home country. These are Jews. He's a Jew. He ought to be able to feel at home. He ought to be able to feel at ease around his own brothers. Amen? You ought to be able to come in this church and sit down and feel at ease around your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So he ought to have been able, he shouldn't have been no issue. And the first thing that pops up, he's a blasphemer. He's a heretic. That's what they are, a bunch of heretics over there. Bunch of racists. Misogynists. Don't believe in women preachers. Don't believe you can drink a little wine. Don't believe in playing the lottery. Think you got to be in every service when the door's open. Bunch of legalists. I ain't getting no amens. Amen. Hey, Jesus Christ had problems even within his own sect, the Jews. Now notice right here, and go over in chapter 9 and verse 9. Now, after all that debacle, he's dealing with that. I want to make a couple of notes there. You notice that when he saw their faith, the individuals that came, and he told the young, the man, not I was going to say young man, but I don't know what his age was, but the man, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Notice that he heals that young man, and it has nothing to do with his faith. See, that knocks you out of fellowship with any Pentecostals. You know, you got, well, the reason you didn't get healed, brother, is you didn't have enough faith. It didn't have nothing to do with his faith. The Bible said he saw their faith. That's Bible. But anyway. Now you get over here to verse 9 in chapter 9 of Matthew, and notice it says, so he goes through that one. Now, you know, the Lord goes on, he passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. Now Matthew's sitting there, and he sees this, and he sees what's going on, he hears what's going on, and he sees what the Lord's done, and Matthew says, I'll follow you. You know, there was a time in your life where you saw the Lord move and do something in you, and you said, you know what, I need to be saved. I'll follow you. He showed Matthew something. Out of all those people, the only two that got anything out of it was the man on the mat and the man at the cash register, because he was taking up money, tax collector. He got up and he followed him. And so he goes there and he says, and it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. So now here he's at the restaurant, sitting at the place, going to give him something to eat. And behold, many publicans, sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. You know what they're going to do? You know what they don't like? I'll tell you what they don't like. They don't like when you're dealing with sinners. I don't like when you deal with sinners. I guarantee you, Brother Joe up there, and I keep using Joe and Dale, and but I could name a bunch of them. You start dealing with sinners out on the street, and usually, in most cases, the city ordinances start to bother you. They start to affect you, trying to push you out. They don't want you dealing with any of that. I know down in Florida, I don't know how Brother Joe's been up there so long, he's actually made some connections. And I praise God for that. That's the mercies of God. But I know down there in Florida, when we had street preach, those cops would run us off all the time. Not that we were doing anything, they just did not like what we were doing. Just the fact of what we were doing. And you know what they're going to find? You're going to find that, you know what? When you start naming the name of Jesus and you start trying to actively do personal work, people are going to be offended. Oh, he's down there, man, with them old dope heads. He's out there, man. If he knew what kind of ministry that was and just how shoddy that looks, down there throwing them clothes out there on the side of the road like that, just making a mess there and people just coming up there. You know what? You're not helping them. You're enabling them, preacher. Come on. Yeah, well, you're probably right, but their feet are still freezing off. Their fingers are still freezing off. And if it was my little girl, I'd want somebody to give her a coat. I'd praise God for somebody to give her some shoes. Yes, she's backslidden. Yes, she's not right with God. Yes, she's lost, going to hell. But if somebody had mercy on her and I found out about it, I'd go thank them. But you know what? You don't get that. Get ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of, just like it did Jesus. He's sitting there with those sinners and those publicans. I'm not saying he's condoning their sin. I'm saying he's sitting there with them. And you know what? He's trying to win them to Christ. He's trying to win them and show them the way. I'm not saying he's going, hey man, it's okay, you know. You're a dope fiend, it's okay. He's not telling them that. But I tell you what, they're sitting there pointing fingers at him going, man, you ought not to be hanging around with that trash. You ever notice that these Pharisees, their legalistic mindset is that notice the individuals that they say are sinners. You know, it's the woman that come and cries at Jesus' feet and washes with her tears and dries his feet with her hair. The woman at the well, the man from Gadara, all these individuals, anybody that's considered lower class than them, what they consider lower class, are sinners. They never looked at themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. They just said, yeah, them sinners. And Jesus is sitting there with them. And behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. Now notice, he's sitting there and they come and sit down with him. They got questions. You know what you find? When you really meet a real sinner, he'll have questions for you. He'll say, man, what does the Bible say about this? Well, I've heard preachers say this. You know the reason I don't go to church? I don't go to church because of this. And they'll ask you, they'll talk to you. And, you know, that's what they did. They come over there, they saw him, they'd heard about him, they said, I want to go talk to him. And they sat down with him. He didn't run them off. You know what? We were street preaching one time, and there was these two guys. They came up to us. And they were passing through, and they were hitching. And you know, so they come up to him, he was preaching, and the guy come up to me, and he said, hey, man, he said, we're trying to get down here to Naples, and we're passing through, and we run short on funds. Can you help us out? And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, buddy. I said, my pastor's over on that far corner. I said, if you'll wait right over here till we get through preaching, I said, him and I will come talk with you. And so the guy sat down over there, and he waited on us. There was two of them. And so now they're there, you know, and they're, you know, they had a bath in a couple days. You know, they weren't, you know, grungy, but they, you know, you could tell they'd been traveling on the road. And so when we got done, we got over there and we sat down, we talked with them, we witnessed to them. And the guy said, listen, said, I'm not looking for money. He said, I just want something to eat. He said, would you give us some money for, I said, well, we won't give you no money, but we'll take you over here and buy you lunch. He said, that'd be fine. He said, that'd be great. The guy wasn't looking for nothing. Now, some of them are. And some of them are a hustle. And you know, you mess with them long enough, you figure it out. But don't lose, listen, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is don't lose the opportunity to reach out to those that are real. Because you get so aggravated with the other ones. I met a woman, I was in Pensacola, I was in Bible school. She come up to me one night at a gas station. It was after school, it was about 10 o'clock. I'd run up there to get some gas, and Sheila was closing manager over at McDonald's. They're on 9 Mile. And I run up there and got some gas. And this woman, now I'm in Bible school, I don't have a whole lot of money. Well, I'm doing better than most of the other brothers, but you know, still ain't got a whole lot of money. And woman come up to me and she goes, excuse me, sir. She said, I know you hear this a lot. And she said, I'm not trying to panhandle anything. She said, but I could use some gas. She said, I'm down here. I'm trying to get. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, if you'll wait, let me pump my gas. I will pump gas in your car. And I said, I'll put gas in your car. She said, that would be great. Folks, I got over there to that car. That woman had her little baby in the back, laying on the back seat, asleep. And all she was asking was for like $5 in gas. I filled her tank. I seen that little baby laid in the back. Gave her a tract, talked to her, invited her to church, witnessed to her and everything. Said she was saved. Said she just wasn't going to church. She was looking for a job. She was trying to get, you know, she'd fall on hard times. I was living out of that car. I said, listen, here's a number. And I gave him Brother Donald's number down there. I said, here's the number. Call. I said, they'll help you. I said, they'll try to help you. But you know what, people, the problem is that most people will overlook the opportunities. Jesus never overlooked the opportunities. When they come at him, if they weren't true, he'd cull them. But he wouldn't stop them from coming. You follow me? Yeah, you get the old panhandler that's just hustling. Okay, cull him. But don't stop them from coming. Because sooner or later, you're going to get one. It's going to be some fruit. It's going to actually be able to help somebody. Be able to do something. So the Lord's sitting there, and these publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And with the Pharisees, these legalistic idiots, when they saw it, they had to make judgment. That's what your Pharisee does. They make judgment on things. They're like an umpire, or think they are. They're the umpire. You know, oh, foul ball. Oh, that's a sin. You shouldn't have done that. Well, if you knew your Bible, the Bible says. They're sitting there hammering away, but they don't do nothing. They talk a lot. They got a good game. They ain't got no skin in the game. They're not going to get out there on the street. They're not going to pass out very many tracts. If they do, it's because they're going to do it in front of somebody so somebody can see them. You know, hurry, here you go. Yeah, go now. Go away. No, I don't want to talk to you. Go away. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus got to know the people. And if you're a Christian, you got to get to know people. And you know what? It's going to take a little bit of your time. And sometimes it's not going to be convenient. And sometimes it's going to cost you a little something. But if you love the Lord, it's worth the cost. A few shekels is not going to be that much. Maybe it's $5 in gas, you know. You're probably going to get hustled. One night, me and Bo, I done called him. I did. I called him. I said, I got a money. Bo said, he talked to him for a few minutes. Bo said, okay, I'll put $5 in your truck. It's Bo now. Yeah. I had to repent, brother. Bo did. Bo put $5 in the boy's truck, put him down the road. I said, Bo, I don't know. He said, well, he said, he may have got me. He said, but Pap said, quoting the pastor, Pap said, sometimes you just got to take a chance. Never know, the Lord may work it out with you. See? That's wisdom. Listen, folks, I know you may get took once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord never stopped them from coming. Let's stand. We'll get a song. We'll just play something, sis. If you need to come, you want to pray, that's something to pray about. Come. Ain't got to be about any of that. It can be about anything. Altar should never, ever be limited to just the service of that sermon. Should always be open to any individual, any time, for anything you need to pray about. I hope I keep repeating that, but I want you to understand that's true. Amen.